Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Navitas Semiconductor and Live Oak II conference call. We appreciate everyone joining us today. The information discussed today is qualified in its entirety by the Form 8-K that has been filed today by Live Oak II and may be accessed on the SEC's website, including the exhibits. There is an investor presentation that's been filed by Live Oak II with the SEC and that will be helpful to reference in conjunction with today's discussion. Please review the disclaimers included therein and refer to that as the guide for today's call. For everyone on the phone, Live Oak and Navitas will not be fielding any questions on today's call. Also, statements made during this call that are not statements of historical facts or otherwise constitute forward-looking statements are subject to risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause our actual results to differ from historical results and/or from our forecast. For more information, please refer to the risks, uncertainties, and other factors discussed in Live Oak's SEC filings. All cautionary statements that we make during this call apply to any forward-looking statements we make whenever they appear. You should carefully consider the risks, uncertainties, and other factors discussed in Live Oak's SEC filings. Do not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements, which we assume no responsibility for updating. With that, let me turn it over to Rick Hendrix from Live Oak II.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us this morning. We are very excited and proud to be here to announce the merger between Live Oak Acquisition II and Navitas. Navitas is a next-generation power semiconductor fabless manufacturer focused on gallium nitride integrated circuit chips. The transaction itself implies just over a $1 billion enterprise value at closing. Live Oak Acquisition II has $253 million of cash in trust, and we announced last night a $145 million PIPE offering that was upsized with cutbacks to institutional investors. 100% of Navitas shareholders are rolling into the transaction. They'll own just over 70% of the combined company, and there's a 10 million share earn-out that goes along with the transaction that vests in three tranches at $12.50, $17, and $20 a share. In addition, the Live Oak sponsor group is deferring 20% of its founder shares, which will vest on the same terms as the earn-out. And more importantly, management and the Live Oak founder group are agreeing to an extended lockup, with lockups running out for as long as 3 years on shares owned by each of those groups. On the next slide, you can see a little bit of the history of Live Oak as a SPAC sponsor. In our first SPAC, we merged with a company that we believe has a number of similarities to Navitas in terms of a tremendous management team, a game-changing technology, and a business and business model that are through their inflection point in terms of technology, market adoption, ability to deliver product at scale, and are really into the rapid growth phase of their life cycle. In terms of process, we followed a very similar process here, in that we hired McKinsey to help us look at the end markets, the individual companies that make up those end markets and their likely adoption rate for GaN into their power electronic solutions. We hired KPMG to work with us around the technology itself, their semiconductor group. KPMG augmented their internal team with experts from the GaN industry to help us really look at the differentiation between GaN IC and discrete GaN, which Gene's going to talk to you about in much more detail. At the end of the day, you know, we feel like there's been a tremendous amount of diligence done here. I think Gene would probably second that there's been a tremendous amount of diligence done here. And, you know, we have felt better about Navitas and its opportunity going forward every single step of the way. So quickly on investment highlights, and I'm going to turn this over to Gene. GaN IC is the next generation for power semiconductors. Silicon has been stretched about as far as it can go in terms of performance, and GaN chips offer a smaller, lighter, faster, and much more efficient solution for power applications. The GaN IC chip that Navitas provides is meaningfully differentiated from discrete GaN. Navitas is the market leader here, having shipped over 18 million units with zero field failures and over 120 patents protecting what is a very proprietary position around GaN-IC. The market itself is, you know, over a $13 billion market opportunity. There are five end markets that the company is focused on. Mobile for consumer, so think mobile chargers for phones, laptops, and iPads. Consumer, which is sort of stationary consumer, desktops, flat panel TVs. There's an enterprise end market, which is largely data centers, including crypto-focused data centers. Renewables, which is today really solar and microinverters in particular. And then the EV applications for onboard chargers, DC to DC converters, and traction control motors. There is a sustainability element here that, in truth, we may have undervalued early in our work with Navitas. I say we, I really mean the Live Oak team. When we made customer calls to Europe in particular, it was very clear on every single one of those calls, customers talked about the fact that they are moving toward GaN to help with their carbon commitments and the initiatives of their governments to reduce carbon usage. I think a lot of times when you see a technology begin to emerge and a company, you know, show up with a lead like Navitas has, particularly around a technology that's been talked about for a long time, there's a question about why this team, right? Why now? Why this team? We think it's clear that, you know, the answer to that question is that there's been over 300 years invested in bringing this GaN-IC solution to the market by the management team at Navitas, not just at Navitas, but at other locations previously. And this is really a career's culmination for many of the senior members of the Navitas team. And then finally, this all adds up to very strong visibility on revenue over the next 2 years with committed manufacturing capacity in place and a very large pipeline of opportunities in some of these developing markets like EV and solar that provide the company with a very diversified revenue picture as we look forward. With that, I'm proud to introduce Gene and turn the presentation over to him.
Thank you very much, Rick. And it's really my pleasure to speak to all of you today and tell you more about Navitas and the opportunity we have in front of us. I've spent most of my career in silicon and in power electronics, trying to get more out of silicon over the last 3 or 4 decades with little room for cost performance improvement. Gallium combines with nitrogen to form an incredibly powerful bond, 10 times stronger electric fields and 2 times greater electron mobility. This speed and efficiency translates into big benefits for power electronics that use gallium nitride, up to 3 times smaller, lighter weight, higher density, faster charging, up to 40% energy savings, and ultimately lower system costs. These are significant gains that can really revolutionize the world of power electronics going forward. On page 7, the market is everywhere. The whole world of modern electronics really needs these type of power supplies to convert grid power to low voltage DC power to power all forms of modern electronics. We've chosen 5 segments we think are the most promising segments, and we've taken them in, I think, a thoughtful go-to-market order that we'll describe later, including how we're doing in developing and capturing customers and driving adoption from silicon to GaN. But first, on page 8, let me tell you more about the gallium nitride power IC technology from Navitas. In the upper left-hand corner, there's basic principles of power supplies. There's 2 real key drivers: efficiency, or put another way, is the energy savings. And our goal would be to maximize that efficiency as close to 100% as possible. But we have to balance that also with speed, or the switching frequency. The faster we can switch a power supply, the more we can deliver faster power, more power, and smaller size, lighter weight, and lower cost. Ultimately, we'd like to maximize both of these key metrics. Unfortunately, silicon, while achieving modest efficiencies in most applications in the range of 85 to 90%, its Achilles heel has been speed, limited to under 100 kilohertz for the last 3 or 4 decades, forcing power supplies to be large, bulky, expensive, and heavy. gallium nitride has the potential to change all of that, dramatically improving efficiency or energy savings, but at the same time, switching incredibly fast to translate to that bigger power, faster charging, smaller size, lighter weight, and lower cost. Unfortunately, a GaN transistor, which is at the heart of these power supplies, requires significant external components around it, as shown in the lower left-hand corner. Dozens of silicon components are needed to drive, control, and protect that GaN transistor. This has really limited the adoption of GaN over the last decade. Navitas has solved this problem with our GaN power IC. We are the first to invent how to integrate all of these silicon components, drive, control, protection, along with the GaN transistor, all into a single GaN chip, translating to not only big benefits compared to silicon, but also big benefits compared to GaN discrete, up to 3 times smaller footprint, fewer components, 20% energy savings, and lower cost. In addition, a discrete GaN is an unprotected GaN. Even by surrounding that discrete GaN with protection circuits and silicon around it, there is a risk of excess voltage, which can lead to degraded reliability or even catastrophic failure. From our lab testing, Navitas estimates a GaN power IC has about 100 times improved reliability compared to a GaN discrete. On page 9, let me explain a little further about the basic elements in a power supply. In the column labeled passive and mechanical components, these energy storage components called passive components often represent 50 to 70% of the power supply size, weight, and cost. With traditional silicon, as shown in the lower part of the page, the power transistor and the drive and protection circuits are simple, but unfortunately, they're slow, typically 100 kilohertz or less. That speed translates into larger passive or energy storage components that add to the size, add to the weight, and add to the cost of the power supply. But also the mediocre efficiency in the range of 85 to 90% means that 10 to 15% of the energy is wasted in the form of heat. That heat has to be managed with heat sinks, as shown in the passive and mechanical components column. Discrete GaN makes good progress. Faster switching to reduce the size of those passive components, incremental improvement on energy efficiency, saving energy, reducing the cost of energy, and shrinking the size of thermal management components like those heat sinks. But unfortunately, the significant additional silicon components needed to drive, control, and protect that power transistor really undermine the full potential of GaN for its maximum speed and efficiency. Until the GaN power IC was invented by Navitas. With a single GaN power IC integrating drive, control, protection, and the power transistor, we unlock that full potential. Multi-megahertz switching translates into tiny, eliminated, or miniaturized passive components, and ultimate high energy efficiency means less energy wasted, less heat created, and reduced thermal management or heatsink components. All of this translating into the ultimate in terms of size and weight density, along with maximum power, faster charging, and lower cost. On page 10, we give another view of how our customers would often look at the components. Traditionally, they have used a silicon discrete transistor. As I showed on the prior page, it is very simple. The cost is attractive, but unfortunately, the potential for increased speed, efficiency, reduced size, or even built-in protection has traditionally not been possible. Discrete GaN moves this forward in a positive direction by opening up the potential for higher speed, higher performance, improved size, but unfortunately, it introduces all new complexity and cost related to drive control and protection. GaN ICs solves all of these problems simultaneously. The ultimate and simple, low-cost implementation, but also the highest in speed, efficiency, power density, and even built-in protection that will ultimately translate into the ultimate in reliability performance. On page 11, we describe some of the reactions we've received when we first introduced our GaN Power IC over 2 years ago, and the reception was extraordinary. Top CTOs, technical leaders, CEOs, and industry experts unanimously recognized this significant invention of solving this significant system or application layer problem with our GaN power IC, Comments like the invention of GaN power ICs represents a major industry breakthrough. Integrated drive is a key to capture the entire GaN advantage. Integrated high-speed drivers have tremendous potential. The feedback continues with every new customer we engage that they instantly recognize the significant innovation and improvement that we've made in unlocking that full potential of GaN power ICs. And on page 12, we explain this has not been an easy accomplishment over the past 7 years. In addition to inventing the world's first GaN power IC, we also had to solve fundamental manufacturing and reliability problems. This gallium nitride is actually a gallium nitride combination sitting on a silicon substrate. The stack up of those three dissimilar materials does represent some challenges in the material mismatch and the resulting defect densities. These defects can translate into poor manufacturing, low yields, high costs, and poor reliability. Navitas has spent a significant amount of the last 7 years to solve these problems through our design invention, and the results speak for themselves. Over the last year, we achieved stable, predictable, consistent, high yields well over 90%. This is typically what you achieve in a mature silicon-based power chips. But in addition, and maybe even more important, the reliability is outstanding. We fully qualified these GaN ICs to high industrial levels with over 1 billion device hours tested in our labs and over 18 million units shipped without a single GaN-related field failure. All of this, when combined with the high integration level that we have achieved, we believe translates into a strong cost leadership position in the market. On page 13, we compare the GaN cost per watt compared to a silicon-based power supply. We've made significant progress over the last 5 or 7 years in dramatically closing the gap and that premium of GaN compared to silicon. In fact, here sitting in 2021, the gap is now very small, with these GaN-based power systems typically costing maybe only 10 or 20% more than their silicon counterpart, while delivering significant benefits, as we discussed, in energy savings, power density, weight, and form factor improvements. But we're right on the doorstep of a significant cost inflection point. In the next 24 months, we are very confident, based upon our roadmap and committed cost reductions, that we will cross that cost parity point with silicon and actually achieve GaN-based power systems that are lower cost than their silicon counterparts. We can do that for a variety of reasons that are fundamental and specific to Navitas. Number one, as the early mover, the early market leader, we have the outstanding high yields and the highest volume in the market with over 18 million unit ships. This translates into lower supplier costs from our manufacturing partners. But in addition, we're introducing a new generation of GaN every 9 to 12 months. Each generation is typically improving the cost performance by 20 to 30%. But with each generation, we're also increasing the level of GaN integration, as well as the operating or switching speed of that device, which then translates into lower cost components for the passive components, as I explained earlier. On page 14, we want to speak about our intellectual property position. When we started the company and invented the first GaN power ICs, we found little to no patents regarding anything beyond a discrete GaN. So as we invented all of these new devices, all of these new circuits, we patented virtually everyone along the way, translating into over 120 patents that are issued and pending. Now, many might think, well, semiconductors, you're always integrating. What is the unique challenge here? And that is true in the world of silicon. Everything that we take for granted in the world of silicon today, basic resistors, capacitors, diode, transistors, and how to combine those devices into basic circuit blocks like logic gates, linear regulators, comparators, and sensors, none of these exist in the world of GaN. In fact, they had to be reinvented, re-optimized, recharacterized, modeled, simulated. All of this took many, many years at Navitas to refine the models, build them up in what we call a PDK, a process design kit, which is ultimately our biggest trade secret, our biggest IP is actually not a patent, but a trade secret, what we call the PDK, which is really the how-to guide for designers on how to create these new devices, these new circuits, all in GaN. And all of these GaN power IC inventions and intellectual property translate across all of our target markets from mobile, consumer, EV, enterprise, and renewables. On page 15, let's turn back to the five markets that I described earlier. These five markets are really selected and driven by two major long-term secular trends that will last for multiple coming decades. The first three, mobile, consumer, and enterprise, are really all about connectivity. And with connectivity comes data growth, explosive data growth. And explosive data growth translates to explosive power growth. It's that power problem and the resulting energy consumption that GaN can solve in a very powerful way. But the second long-term secular need is really around climate change. And that involves electrifying the end application, like electric transportation, electric vehicles. But this is really converting gas and oil combustion-based applications to electrical ones that can be clean energy. And there's no cleaner energy than GaN-based electrical energy, but also energy sources, renewable energy sources like solar, where GaN can provide significant improvements to both the cost structure and the energy savings and energy produced of those renewable applications. On page 16, let's look at the market size. Last year, we estimate the total power semiconductor market dominated by silicon for these target markets I've described is around $9 billion. And GaN in its infancy is just starting out, led by Navitas, with about 20 million total sales last year by our estimate. And Navitas was 12 million of that. We estimate, as do third parties, that the GaN market will grow, doubling every year over the next 5 years to over $2 billion. And you can see the breakout across these five different segments as shown in 2026. While that growth is extraordinary and a huge opportunity for Navitas as the clear early market and technology leader, the upside is significant. That $2.1 billion still representing only 16% of the total power semiconductor market in 2026 at $13.1 billion. On page 17, let's take another look at how we can characterize this market. The x-axis is voltage of the power devices, and the y-axis is the power level of these applications. Today, all of these markets are dominated by silicon power devices. In the future, while silicon will continue to be used in very low voltage and low power applications, and at very high voltage and high power, there's an alternative to GaN called silicon carbide, which offers unique thermal conductivity benefits, which can be especially useful in extremely high temperature, high power applications like wind turbines or utility power. For everything in between this $13 billion market opportunity, we believe GaN will be the answer over time. On page 18, let's talk about our first chosen market. When we brought our GaN power ICs to production over 2 years ago, we elected to focus on mobile chargers. We believe this is the perfect market that's moving fast, high volume, and could quickly demonstrate to the world that our GaN power ICs were ready for prime time and could solve real problems at attractive price points. The trends in mobile is clear. Bigger screens, bigger batteries, bigger processors, bigger data. All of this is exciting, but it leads to a big power problem. Traditional silicon chargers can take up to 3 or 4 hours to fully charge your phone, your tablet, or your laptop. GaN changes all of that with up to 3 times more power, up to 3 times faster charging, but also half the size and weight for these wall chargers. It's an exciting opportunity with over 2.5 billion wall chargers shipped every year and approximately $1 of GaN content per charger. This multi-billion dollar market opportunity is immense for Navitas. Even multiple silicon chargers can be combined together in one small multi-port powerful charger to charge all your devices fast simultaneously. On page 19, when we first brought this technology to market, the aftermarket players who are smaller and could move fast adopted it extremely quickly. And in 2019, we saw dozens of aftermarket customers adopting our products, companies like Anker, Belkin, Aukey, Rev Power, and many others. Last year, observing all the aftermarket success, we saw the tier one mobile players themselves move quickly to adopt our GaN technology, and we're proud of a number of major public announcements made in the last 12 months. These include Lenovo, Dell, LG, Xiaomi, Asus, Oppo, and others. In total, over 75 GaN chargers are in mass production today. But even more exciting, we have over 150 in customer development today that will launch later this year and early next year. In total, over 90% of the top mobile players across phone, tablet, and laptop are designing with Navitas GaN for their future fast chargers. And as mentioned before, we've already shipped over 18 million units into the field with zero GaN failures. This is a mobile market. We're off to a great start, and it will ramp significantly and represents hundreds of millions of dollars of opportunity for Navitas. But we also look at the broader consumer market. Here, we're referring to consumer electronics that are not mobile. You're not carrying the device. There's not batteries inside, but they are internet connected. And with that explosive data growth comes explosive power growth. And we can deliver that high power in much smaller form factors compared to silicon. This is very important in a number of consumer applications like ultra-thin TVs, high-powered gaming systems, desktop all-in-one PCs, or the various smart home internet-connected devices. We already have two major programs that will launch later this year. One is a Tier 1 LED TV that will have GaN integrated inside the back panel of the TV. Another is a Tier 1 desktop all-in-one PC that will launch with GaN power supplies integrated inside that all-in-one PC. Together, those two programs alone represent tens of millions of units for GaN shipments for Navitas next year. In aggregate, just these four sectors are 600 million systems shipping each year and typically use about $3 of GaN content. So this represents another $2 billion opportunity for Navitas. On page 21, let's look to new markets where we'll be expanding in the future. The first within enterprise is data centers. Data centers is famously a big power problem. Nearly 50% of the total cost of ownership of a data center is related to power, cost of power supplies, cost of cooling the data center, cost of the electricity. By our estimates, a silicon-based data center today is about 75% efficient. This means 25% of the energy going into the data center is wasted as heat and never used for data processing. By our estimates, a GaN-based data center can be improved by about 10% or about 84% efficiency. This is a dramatic benefit in the cost of electricity, as well as reducing the cost of cooling. By our estimates, when all data centers move to GaN, they will save about $1.9 billion in electricity. But in addition, we significantly reduce the footprint required, which means less of the data center footprint is needed for power processing and more can be applied to data processing. Together, this market represents about a $1 billion opportunity for our GaN ICs. And there's a similar market need in the cryptocurrency mining space, which is also famously demanding an incredible amount of energy, and the cost of electricity is a big problem. The same GaN ICs we're developing this year to address the data center will also apply to cryptocurrency mining, representing a very nice additional market upside to this $1 billion data center market. On page 22, the second new market expansion area for us is in solar. If you look at solar, it's really all driven by dollars per watt. What is the hardware cost in dollars that I need to spend upfront to install solar? And what's the free energy or free watts that I will get over time to pay back that investment? GaN is the perfect solution. As we reduce the hardware cost of the power supply, which is called an inverter in the case of solar implementations, we reduce that cost upfront, particularly in 2023 and beyond, where the GaN-based power systems are lower cost than the silicon-based power systems, but we also significantly improve the energy savings over time. We estimate this translates into about a 10% improvement to the solar payback. We have already engaged our first lead major customer who is committed to move from silicon to GaN in their next generation solar inverters and energy storage products starting in 2023 when they go to production. Over the coming 7 years from that point, the estimated GaN potential for Navitas is about $500 million. That is just the first program. In total, we estimate the GaN IC opportunity to be over $1 billion per year. On page 23, let's turn to the third and final market expansion area and likely the largest, electric vehicles. There are three different major applications with an electric vehicle that could use GaN power electronics. First, the onboard charger to charge the high voltage battery. Second, the DC to DC converter to convert the power from the high voltage battery to all the other electronics in the car. And third, the traction drive or motor control, where GaN can drive that electric motor. If you look at the challenges and the key factors to drive adoption of EV, they really revolve around three or four key themes. One is faster charging, another, extended range, a third, is lowering the cost compared to traditional combustion engine cars. GaN can help in all three areas. In fact, our first opportunity listed here is a $400 million opportunity with one of the leading EV suppliers in Europe that plans to adopt GaN IC for their next generation onboard chargers. They target to triple the power from 6 or 7 kilowatts to 20 kilowatts for that onboard charger, using GaN to deliver that increased power while still being careful to limit the size and especially the weight, which can influence the range. This is an over $400 million revenue opportunity for Navitas over the period of 2025 to 2030. But in addition to the faster charging time, if you apply GaN to all three of the applications we described in power electronics, we can significantly improve the energy savings or the power dissipation. And this ultimately translates into a lower battery cost for the same driving range or a longer driving range for the same battery cost. If you look at the GaN potential, assuming 50 million EV cars projected to ship by 2030, conservatively, there's over $50 of GaN IC content potential in each EV, representing minimally a $2.5 billion per year GaN IC opportunity. And this does not include other forms of electric transportation like e-bikes, scooters, motorbikes, and beyond. On page 24, while we're excited about the financial opportunity to convert silicon to GaN across these multiple billion-dollar market opportunities, we're equally excited about the impact Navitas and GaN can have on climate change. Today, the world emits over 30 gigatons of CO2 every year. To achieve the global goal of net zero by 2050, we have to take that down to effectively zero. By most accounts, we have a long way to go. IRENA estimates 26 gigatons is the remaining gap. Our estimate is that GaN could impact up to 10% of that challenge, or that 2.6 gigatons. This is a huge impact that we can have and one that we will be aggressively pursuing. Not only as a Navitas net zero initiative, but on page 25, we're excited about the impact we can have in coordinating with the public sector and our existing customers, customers like Amazon, Apple, Dell, Google, and others that we expect to work with over time, in addition to next generation clean energy companies and EV companies. All of these can benefit through faster adoption of GaN to save energy and cut CO2 emissions. On page 26, I want to share a little bit about the founding of the company, which I think is quite unique. Three of our key founders, myself, Dan Kinzer, our CTO, COO, and Jason Zhang, our head of applications engineering and technical marketing, started the company, but we actually have much more history than that. And for more than two decades, we've worked together creating exciting technologies and exciting businesses in the world of power electronics and power semiconductors. In fact, in aggregate, over the span of our careers working together, we've developed over 20 generations of power semiconductors, over $4 billion of new revenue created, and over 200 patents issued. This includes some of the industry achievements that today are still recognized as some of the biggest breakthroughs in our industry over the last 30 or 40 years. We've combined this great founding team with world-class leaders across engineering, sales, marketing, design, quality, and finance to build a truly remarkable team, and one that I'm super proud to work with, working with some of the best people I've ever had the opportunity to work with in my career. On page 27, we combine that great management team with a great board before the de-SPAC process, myself and Dan, but also three key investors, David Moxham, who's a clean energy investor himself and our founding investor, Brian Long and Atlantic Bridge, one of the top semiconductor investors in our industry, Dipender Saluja and Capricorn, also a big focus investment platform on sustainability. And finally, Lip Bhutan, who is really a prolific and famous individual that is the chairman of Walden, one of the top high-tech investment firms in the world, and also the CEO of Cadence, who provides software to virtually all semiconductor companies around the world. He's an excellent addition as an advisor, well-connected, well-respected, and a personal investor in our company. On page 28, just a short summary of our history. As I explained earlier, we spent the first few years not only creating the company, creating the team, inventing the technology, building our partnership with TSMC, who is our manufacturing partner, filing so many dozens and dozens of patents, but also solving those manufacturing reliability problems that I described, such that by 2018 and 19, when we launched the product, we could ramp very fast first with the aftermarket customers in late 18 and 19. Then we moved quickly to the top mobile tier one players in late 19 and 2020. In aggregate now, as we said, shipping over 18 million units. And we see that mobile business, of course, exploding going into the future. But with our expansion and the new capital, we'll be layering in a new market and really looking at mainstream GaN adoption in a new market each year. The consumer market kicking in later this year in 21, data centers starting in late 22, solar implementation starting in 23, and EV starting in late 24, all combining together to create really extraordinary growth potential for our company. For use of proceeds on page 29, we focus this in three key areas. So of course, market expansion, not only fueling our growth, where we're already rapidly ramping in mobile and consumer, but also investing in electric vehicle, solar, and enterprise, our three expansion markets, but also accelerating our technology innovation. We're moving at an incredible pace with a new generation every 9 to 12 months, as I explained earlier, and we're looking to accelerate that across all of our segments, not only at the chip level, at the packaging level, and even system innovations. And third, we see significant strategic complementary acquisition opportunities that fit our vision and our mission to become that next generation power semiconductor company across all of the target markets that I've described. On page 30, this is our revenue plan for the next 5 years. Of course, the core revenue is in mobile in 21, representing nearly all of our 27 million. That mobile business is ramping very fast in 22 and beyond, headed to hundreds of millions of dollars in the outer years. But next year, we see the consumer business adding appreciably to that $69 million target. And then by 23, we see enterprise and solar kicking in and growing quickly into 24. And in 2025, we have the electric vehicle then ramping quite quickly towards the $640 million nicely diversified multi-market business that we project. We also want to point out, in this very constrained semiconductor market, we have been very aggressive on manufacturing capacity with all of our key suppliers, and we're pleased to report that we have committed capacity, installed capacity, that is well in excess of these forecasts, both this year at 27 million, but also in the coming years at 69 million and 182 in 2023, representing a lot of upside flexibility for us and our customers to grow even faster. On page 31, let's take a look at the short-term visibility. Of course, as mentioned earlier, we have some top tier one mobile players, including Amazon, Dell, Lenovo, LG, Oppo, and Xiaomi, all ramping quickly while we add many others. In total, for our revenue pipeline, we have over $100 million of awarded business. By awarded business, we're referring to production programs using our GaN or programs that are committed to go to production using Navitas GaN. That $100 million gives us great visibility and confidence for our $27 million this year and our $69 million projection for next year. But in addition, we have another $580 million of qualified opportunities. These are production programs with a high level of interest to move to GaN, but haven't committed yet. Those qualified opportunities can create significant opportunities as early as this year above our $27 million forecast, but also give us great visibility for 22 and beyond, particularly as the additional market segments kick in and start to contribute appreciably to our revenue plan in 23, 24, and 25. And with that, I want to turn it over to our head of finance, Todd Glickman, to tell you more about our business model and financial plans.
Thanks, Gene. On slide 32, you will see, in combination with revenue growth, we are also accelerating our gross margins. While we ended fiscal year 2020 at 33%, we have transitioned to Gen 2 products, which is driving margins to 46% in 2021. We are already tracking to 44% gross margins in Q1 and have high confidence in achieving 46% margins for fiscal year 2021. However, 21 is only the first step in our gross margin ramp. From 21 to 26, we will drive margin expansion through four focus areas: development of future generations of products, drive additional integration into our GaN ICs, work to optimize our supply chain, and lastly, as volumes increase, we will guide our cost of materials downward, slightly offset by an ASP reduction to customers. As you can see in the upper right-hand corner, we currently have a negative EBITDA today. However, we expect to cross into positive territories in 23 and reach a healthy level of 25% margins by 2026, with a large portion of our operating expenses related to research and development. All this can be done with minimal capital expenditures. Our fabless model allows us to run the business today with almost zero CapEx. All our CapEx growth in the future will be related to supply chain optimization, allowing us to maintain our identity as a fabless semiconductor company. With that, I will turn it back over to Rick to discuss the transaction.
Thanks, Todd. Slide 33 gives a full update on the overall transaction summary. We talked about much of this at the beginning of the discussion, but the implied enterprise value post-transaction is just over $1 billion, which equates to about 5.7 times 2023 revenue. We think that compares favorably to the appropriate comps here for Navitas, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And in terms of the ownership of the business on a go-forward basis, 100% of the Navitas shareholders are rolling into the transaction, including Atlantic Bridge, Capricorn, and Malibu IQ, and they will own just over 70% of the combined business. As a reminder, the management team and the founder group at Live Oak have agreed to lockups that extend out through 3 years in three separate tranches. On page 34, you can see the selected comps that we looked at for Navitas. We've grouped them into really three broad categories: power semiconductors, and then broken that down into higher growth players and more mature, more diversified participants in power semiconductor end markets, recent semiconductor IPOs, and recent de-SPACs. And within the de-SPACs, we broke it down within semiconductors and LiDAR players. If you go to page 35, what you'll see is that Navitas has a 100% compounded annual growth rate from 2020 to 2025. Much higher growth than even the high growth power semiconductor players, with really the only place you can find higher growth being within LiDAR, where there really is no revenue to speak of at this point. We think Navitas is where the growth is in semiconductors and power semiconductors in particular on a go-forward basis. And yet, on a multiple basis, Navitas is priced at a discount to really all of these peer groups. You can see on page 36 that the 5.7 times 2023 revenue is a meaningful discount to the recent semiconductor IPOs, which averaged 7.3 times, the high-growth power semiconductor players, which averaged 13.4 times, and the more mature, diversified semiconductor players that are a little bit slower growth at 9 times. In addition, if you look to the comparisons to the recent de-SPACs, at 2.3 times 25 for Navitas, that's a meaningful discount to both the semiconductor players and the LiDAR players that we used it for comparable purposes. And then finally, if you look at the multiples for the power semiconductor players for 2022, they run from 9 times to 13 times. If we take the midpoint of that and apply it to the 2022 revenue for Navitas, you can see that, you know, while we sit at just over a $1 billion enterprise value today, we would have 60% upside, even using a 20% discount rate to come back from 23 to 22, and 95%, or about a 90% discount rate to the average of those against 2023. And so, in total, you know, we believe this is a very attractive entry point for investors who participated in the PIPE and who may look at this opportunity in the market going forward. And, you know, again, we feel like Navitas is really where the growth is in power semiconductors on a go-forward basis. And ultimately, we look forward to talking to many of you in the coming days as we discuss this further in one-on-one and group meetings. And I want to thank everybody for joining us for this presentation this morning.